This podcast is produced by KPP Financial Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and risk tolerances from KPP Financial. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the April 10th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. This is our one-hour forum we have together, and I welcome your input and your questions as always. Our goal is to promote knowledge, exchange some ideas, and maybe help you become current on important investment news, and just try to help you pick better stocks and control your investments better, make more money. Doesn't everybody want to do that? I know I do. So what does it take to be successful, a successful investor? And this question is asked of me all the time here on Invest Talk. While the answer is not straightforward, it is simple. There are many schools of thought when it comes to investing, and each person may have their own path to success. Some investors ignore areas of expertise that others master and find success in. For instance, Warren Buffett is a pure value investor. He ignores technical analysis, doesn't care about charts. He doesn't care much about fluctuations in the economy. Unless he goes into recession, he likes to buy in recessions. And he's obviously found very, very high success in investing in the market. So, but that's not the only way to make money in the market. So what I want you to do is find your own way. Find a comfort area that you like that can be successful. Now, I find that most successful investors have pretty deep knowledge of all the factors that affect price movement of stocks, both long-term and short-term. I like to say fundamental analysis tells you what to buy, and technical analysis, chart reading, tells you when to buy. Economic analysis bleeds into both of these things. It's very important that you know the economic cycles and where you are in the cycle. No one knows exactly where they are in the cycle, but you can get a pretty good feel. Are you in a recession? No. Are you at the top of the economic cycle? Maybe. Is the economic cycle still expanding? Yes. So you know you're at the closer to the top than you are in the middle of the or the bottom part. That's important to know. Why do I say that? How do I know that that's the case? Those are things that we all need to learn. I want to teach you. Anyways, and buying and selling stocks doesn't mean you're constantly trading. You can be a trader if you want, or just a buy and holder. You can be that too. But to be successful doesn't mean you have to trade. You don't have to trade in and out all the time. Matter of fact, that's usually a bad formula. Usually staying with your good value stocks for as long as you can is the better approach. And you should always have a watch list of companies you want to buy. Always, always, always. Now, our process at KPP Financial is one that takes time and resources, but has been proven over time. If you want to be a good manager of your money, you must put in the time and dedication. It's required. And it's a constant pursuit of knowledge. It's a constant pursuit of understanding what's going on with the companies that you own, the ones you want to own, with the economy, with politics, everything that affects your investment. Anyways, if you're new investing, you might find it useful. 9 mistakes beginning investors make. You can see it on investtalk.com. Just click on the Invest Talk tab there at Market Commentary blog. Now let's get to work. Answer some questions. Any money questions are welcome. Our Invest Talk listener line is 888-99-CHART. That's how you reach me right now. And you can comment anytime on our 24-hour listener line.
My question is, why do they use the Dow Jones Industrial Average as kind of like, you know, the benchmark, which is only comprised of 30 stocks? Why don't they use the Dow Jones Composite Index, you know, as the daily barometer? Anyway, I know it's a simple question, but maybe someday on your radio program you can explain it. Thank you. Bye.
Well, it has a very simple answer, and this is the answer. There's no other answer, because the Dow Jones Industrial 30 stocks, as he mentioned, is the oldest index. starting in 1890-something, I think it was. It's the oldest. That's why it's always reported on. You shouldn't. Again, as he pointed out, it's only 30 stocks. We represent about 20% of the market cap. Well, the S&P 500 represents 80% of the market cap. Why not report the total stock market index? The total stock market index, which gives you all the stock. See, there's no reason. There's none other than it's the oldest. That's the answer. It's pretty simple. The Dow 30 is the oldest. When it first came out, it was just full of railroad stocks. That's what it was packed with. And it wasn't 30 stocks either. What, 10, 8? I don't know. I don't remember. But I know it wasn't 30. How safe is your IRA? Safe is the word. How safe is your IRA? That's one of our talking points today. Also, buy or rent? What's better, buying or renting a house? What is better according to recent surveys? Half of American families live in paycheck to paycheck. I've talked about this in various ways and forms in the last few weeks. I'm going to talk about it again, especially since it's tax time. And can China hurt us while they hold that $1 trillion of our debt? Can they hurt us? How can they hurt us? What could they do if they wanted to? And would it do any good? Those are going to be the talking points today. Of course, what you want to talk about is always first. Whatever's on your mind, we want to talk about. 888-99-CHART is my number. The market did end up today, but it was not a very good day. I mean, the Dow was up 2, the Nasdaq up 3, and the S&P up 2. But during the day, the Dow was up close to 100, the Nasdaq was up 20, 30 points. I mean, it was much better during the day and gave it almost all of it back toward the end of the day. And, you know, that's been the kind of the pattern, seems like, the last few weeks, where the market will start up higher during the day and then end up lower. And if the market starts up lower at the beginning of the day, in other words, flat or down, it seems to be ending up lower. So there's not a lot of optimism going on there in the market. It's not, it's, you know, as I was, as I look at the S&P 500, seems like lower lows and lower highs since March 1st. I mean, we still don't really have a good trend in because it's such a maybe 2% down, but it seems like it's having trouble doing anything and then maintaining it if it does do something good. So that's what happened today. Nothing major, nothing of interest, nothing in the economic news or the stock market news. And you do realize we're coming into earnings season here. Earnings season should start hot and heavy this week, and you don't hear a lot of talk about it. It's interesting. Just kind of ho-hum. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley. What's your number one concern as an investor? What's your weak spot? Do you have a weak spot? Would you like to talk about technical analysis? Our lines are open. 888-99-CHART is our listener line, and it's every day, weekday, from 4 to 5 Pacific time.
Hi, Steve or Justin. I'm interested in knowing a little bit more about your thoughts on Alibaba. BABA is the symbol. I understand that their earnings are accelerating. It appears that way to me. I've read up on the company and their operations in China and was wondering what you thought about it as a potential investment right now. Thank you.
Well, Alibaba, symbol BABA, is traded on our exchange as an ADR. It's out of Hong Kong and is the Amazon of the Chinese world, okay? Hong Kong-based provider of online and mobile retail marketing places via Taobao.com and Tmall.com and other sites. And yeah, it is growing. Sales are growing 40-50% in the last 3 or 4 quarters. So they're growing very, very fast. They have been growing fast for some time. They're going to make $3.47 this year, $4.28 next year. And it was a price of $111. That means the PE will be 25 based on $4.28. 25, and the 5-year PE range is 22 to 54. So it's, for this company and that growth, I think that's pretty reasonable. Return on equity is 24%. So now it's just made a new 52-week high today. New 52-week high. It broke a high that it made back in what month was that? Back in October. That was a high. It fell to a low. That high last October was 107. Then it fell to 87. Now today is 111. So that was the move. And you buy it on this breakout. I think you buy it here. You know, it's scary at this time of year, but you can't argue with the numbers. Fundamentally, it looks very, very sound. Alibaba, symbol B-A-B-A, Baba, B-A-B-A. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So how safe is your IRA? Your IRA is as safe as you make it. Remember, you have control of your IRA. If you put it in a bank, FDIC insured, up to $250,000. If you put it in a bank, like a savings account or a checking account or a CD. If you put it in a brokerage account, it's $500,000 with SIPC, S-I-P-C, $500,000. Now, neither one of these, you know, protect you against loss of investment, loss of the principal if you invest it poorly. For instance, if you buy stock with it and the stock goes down, that's not what insures. It insures against fraud, someone stealing the money. And the bank insures against the bank going under. You know, same thing with a brokerage account. If the brokerage firm goes under, it will protect you. Because remember, the brokerage firm doesn't own the shares, you do. You know, so only if the brokerage firm steals the money do you worry about the brokerage firm. So the IRA, an IRA, is a vehicle, and it can be as safe as you want to make it. It's up to you how much risk you want to take with it. You can buy U.S. Treasury bonds where there's no risk, okay? Unless the U.S. government goes out of business or, you know, USA disappears, that's your risk. But so it's just as safe as you want to make it. It's up to you. So don't think, some people confuse IRA with some kind of investment. IRA is not investment. It's a basket that holds investments. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Had an interesting day in the market today. I still haven't figured out why it gave up so much gains for the end of the day. I find it very interesting that seems to be pretty routine in recent weeks, where the market might have a really good day and start up pretty good, kind of tails off toward the end of the day. And if the market doesn't have a good day, if the market's just so-so, still tails off toward the end of the day, goes down. And we've seen that in the last few weeks, and I'm not sure why. It certainly isn't very bullish. It might be because everybody's waiting on the president to either, you know, give us a big spending program, a tax cuts, or, you know, get rid of Obamacare. Maybe all the market's waiting for all that and just not sure it's going to happen. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know, but it's not acting very strong. It's acting like it normally acts going into the summer, and it's a bit early for that yet. This is the Best Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. 888-99-CHART is my number, 888-992-4278. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific Time, Monday through Friday. We are live every Monday through Friday. Love to talk to you, so give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Coming up on Invest Talk, answers to your questions, any money matter, comparing load and no-load mutual funds, how to gauge your needs in retirement, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Justin. Hello, Steve. Raphael from Jersey. Calling about Domino's Pizza, DPZ. So the negative thesis on Friday, somebody put out and stock pulled down. We're now at about the 100-day moving average, and together with the RSI and MACD, historically speaking, this has been a good place to get in. I've never gotten in because I haven't been comfortable with the valuation, but frankly, sometimes using a technical analysis for a momentary weakness can get you in where valuation won't allow you to. I think it's a top-flight company taking share from the mom and pops here domestically and expanding internationally. I think it's one of the best CEOs around. I've been very patient. I think this may be the time, and I'm wondering what you guys think. Domino's Pizza. Thanks. Bye.
Domino's Pizza, everybody. They are franchise operators of 13,800 pizza delivery and carryout restaurants in the U.S. and over 85 other countries. It is overvalued. It has been for some time. They're going to make $5.22 this year and then $6.22 next year. That's like a 20% increase both years per year. P/E ratio right now is 41, and the five-year average is 16 to 45. So you can see it's kind of on the higher end. And you're right. Sales are pretty good, 11 to 15% growth the last quarter over quarter over quarter, three, four quarters in a row. The stock price, though, has reflected that. It was, you know, $114 last May, and today it's $173. Now, you noticed a couple days ago it really took a dive, and you're thinking that's a buying opportunity. The reason why it took a dive is because there's concerns about it missing its numbers. I would wait till they report. I think I would wait till they report their earnings for the first quarter and see what that tells us. It looks like everybody's thinking the numbers are not going to be good. And maybe it'll set you up a better buy point here. I would love to buy that, like the 200-day moving average, which is 161 or so. I think that would be a much better place to buy it than right here at the 100-day moving average at 173. So I'd still give it a little room on the downside. It hasn't showed us. It's only had those two big down days, Friday and then today. Well, today wasn't that big, but it was down. I think you take your time. Don't be in a rush to get into it. You're getting an opportunity, yes, but you don't have to buy it right this minute. So just take your time. Let's see what the earnings says. Okay? April is the official National Financial Literacy Month. I and Justin want to do our part. That's really our mission here on Invest Talk. Money Management International, who is sponsoring this month's long awareness campaign, has assigned 30 steps to financial wellness. Knowing where you are today and can really help determine the best path toward helping you meet your financial goals. So where are you? Do you have enough money? Are you on track to have enough money for retirement? Now, your credit report can provide at least a snapshot of your financial situation as far as what everybody else thinks. As far as your credit, so reviewing the credit report is important. Make sure it's accurate. You may need that credit someday. The three major credit bureaus are separate entities. Different creditors use different reports or a combination of them to determine whether or not you are credit worthy. Credit reports might also matter when renting an apartment, obtaining insurance, or securing some types of employment. Credit cards can also earn you a lower interest rate. Good credit can earn you a lower interest rate. So, why not save money if you can? So for more information, go to www.financialliteracymonth.com. That's all one word, financialliteracymonth.com. Again, April is Financial Literacy Month. InvestTalk is here to help you. We do really want to help you. Do you have a question about any money matter? Use the phone, 888-99-CHART, or go to investtalk.com and click on the Contact Steve button.
1 hour can make a world of difference for your retirement future. Each month, Steve schedules these one-hour meetings with our listeners to answer important questions about their retirement portfolio. And he'll be in San Ramon April 25th. And if you're not near our California offices, Steve can meet with you via Skype or telephone. It's easy. If you'd like to set up a time, just go to investtalk.com. Click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
Hi. My question is regarding reverse mortgages. My father-in-law is a retired gentleman and would like to pull some equity out of his house. He's talked about doing reverse mortgages with banks and found it to have a bunch of restrictions and fees. We're in a situation right now where I have a fair amount of cash that I'd like to invest in real estate and really don't understand, how I would do this with him and if it's a good idea, when title would transfer, et cetera. So that's my question. How do they work? Thanks.
Okay, reverse mortgages are pretty simple. I don't know if you're asking about that, but there's not a lot of restrictions, so I'm not sure about that. Once you get the money, you can do whatever you want with it. And the restrictions are you have to stay in the house. But they're expensive. I grant you that too. It's a good last choice. Now, if you're talking about how you can maybe be an owner of his property or, and somehow give him some cash, I don't know if I would do that. I might lend him the money and be a first trustee on the property, as opposed to being part owner. You need to talk to an accountant. This is important because if you inherit the property, you get a stepped up value basis. And I don't know where you are, but in certain parts of this country, like in the Bay Area and California, you know, property values go up a lot, and you want that stepped up value. If you're in part of the country where the values don't move very much, then it wouldn't be so important. But, you know, there's ways to be part owner. If you're somebody, have a 401k. It gives you a way to maximize your account.
Our podcast continues next. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial and reason number two for a portfolio checkup with Steve. You need to rebalance your portfolio. And of course, everyone wants a portfolio that grows like a weed. But what about risk? Risk is the number one priority for everyone these days. In a low interest rate environment, you crave those great returns that stocks can give, but you're afraid to take the risk. So what's the formula? It's important to find that balance. And part of the process is rebalancing your portfolio. And Steve can help you with that. And there's never any charge for a complete portfolio checkup for our InvestTalk listeners. And no obligation, of course, of any kind. To schedule your one-to-one meeting, a one-hour checkup with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review. Or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Now back to the podcast. InvestTalk continues. And next time, prepaying your mortgage, while it can save you money on total interest, may not make sense for you in the long term. The argument against paying off your mortgage early. Steve will talk about that next time on InvestTalk. And you set the topic right now. Call us at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Sean from New York. Thanks again for your wonderful podcast. Today, I was going to ask you about Southwestern Energy, SWN. What do you think? Thank you. Have a good day.
Well, the biggest biggest worry is the debt it carries. Southwest Energy engaged in exploration and production of oil and natural gas, primarily in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and Pennsylvania. And they have a huge debt load. That's my biggest worry about this stock. SWN is the symbol. They're going to make 70 cents this year, after losing 2 cents a share last year. Next year, they're going to make 93 cents. And it's an $8.36 stock, so it's under 10 PE. So that's below its 5-year average of 12 to 73. So, you know, that's the good part. That's the good part. Sales have been shrinking up until the most recent quarter. The December quarter, sales were flat. And so we know the oil has been recovering, so they should do well. And it looks like they have bottomed right around, recently $7.50-ish in that area. Now it's $8.36. So this would be the area that you would buy it if you wanted to buy it, because it's coming off its bottom that it kind of bumped up against all through March. The whole month of March and April started to move up a little bit. So this is where you would buy it if you want to buy it. I worry about that debt, though. That's my biggest concern. You find out about why are they carrying so much debt. You know, what did they do? How are they going to address it? Are they going to address it? And that would be the concern. They have a decent cash flow of $1.11 a share, but that debt really worries me. Huge debt. That's my problem with SWN. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Buying versus renting a house. Is it better to buy or better to rent? According to a study by Trula.com, says if you can manage to make the payments, if you can manage the payments, and this is key, it pays to buy the house versus rent. But you also have to stay there to make it worthwhile at least 5 years. 5 years. If you're staying in the house with an average mortgage and average interest rate and all the other things, it you make about 11% in the 5 years versus renting where you make nothing. And then in 7 years, it pops up to 23%, according to their study. Now, I'm a big advocate of buying property because it's an asset. It will, and it's one of the few assets you can use leverage that makes sense. Leverage meaning you can borrow the money. You can buy a house even though you don't have enough money to buy the whole thing. You're going to put a down payment on it. So I kind of like owning the property versus rent. And of course, we all know the pros and cons. You know, you have a tax write-off if you buy it. You don't have it if you rent. But you also have all these other expenses that you have to consider when you buy a house versus renting. You don't have those other expenses. So there's, you know, the pros and cons are there. They're just pointing out that the pros outweigh the cons over long periods, 5 years plus. So if your job is not one that's real secure, or you might be transferring within the next year or two or three, don't buy a house yet because it doesn't work out for you financially. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Save the date for our next InvestTalk Wealth webinar. This one is perfect for the hands-on investor who wants to hone their analytical skills. Fundamental and technical analysis, back to the basics. Justin will be hosting this along with another KPP financial advisor, Jason Toper. So Justin Klein, Jason Toper. The date is April 26th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. Fundamental and technical analysis, back to the basics. You want to learn fundamental and technical analysis? They're going to be teaching it. What metrics matter most? How to screen for attractive stocks? How to identify chart patterns in today's market? It's an hour-long webinar. It's free, but you do need to sign up. Registration is open, will be open soon on investtalk.com. So save the date, April 26th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time.
Here are the directions for reaching Steve this afternoon with your question. Just call 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T. Have a question about how best to get into the market? Or maybe you're feeling unsure about your current investments. That's what this is all about. This is InvestTalk.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Mike from Washington. I listen to your podcast regularly. I really appreciate the insights and the viewpoints you give. But my question today is about hedging. You oftentimes use that expression, hedging. And so I was wondering how that applies to individual investors. I know there are hedge funds and managers that do kinds of hedging, but I was just wondering about for individuals, how that can be used and applied considering a possible correction this summer. Appreciate all your insights and your help and look forward to listening more. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, hedging, the term hedging is most commonly used for individual investors as protection of your assets, protection of your portfolio. And how do you do it? How do you apply? You have to decide how much you want to protect of your portfolio. If you're fully invested in stock, you then can hedge off some of those investments. There's also hedging by just selling back the stocks and going to cash. That's a hedge against stock market volatility. The more cash you have, the less volatile you will be. If you want to hold on to your stocks, you can hedge by shorting indexes, certain index, all the indexes, every index, and you just determine how much you want to short of the overall portfolio. For instance, you know, if you want to protect it against a certain percentage of a downside move, 10%, 20%, then you hedge off enough that it in a normal correction, it would not go. Your portfolio would not go down because you have a short position or a position in which will go up if the market goes down. That's a hedge against the market volatility, a hedge against the market fall. It's not. There's no, oh, do this much and you'll be fine. There's no set answer here. You have to determine what volatility you're comfortable with of your overall portfolio. And if you feel that the market is overvalued or probably due for a correction, how much of that portfolio should you hedge? and how you do it. It gets complex. It's not as simple as just, well, I'm just going to hedge. I wish it was that simple. It's not. Right now, we have, you can hedge using shorts. You can also hedge using equities or positions that don't move in the same direction as the stock market. For instance, commodities many times go in a different direction. Gold, for instance. It doesn't go in the direction of the stock market. It's more related to the dollar. And if the dollar goes down, gold tends to go up, regardless of what the stock market does. So that's another type of hedge. It's not a perfect hedge, but it's a type. A perfect hedge would be this. You own 100 shares of Microsoft, and now you sell short 100 shares of Microsoft. So if Microsoft goes up or down, you'll be flat with those two positions on. One hedges, one doesn't. So, and it's doing it for the exact same equity called Microsoft. So that's a perfect hedge, and that's probably not a wise thing to do because you're just trying to time the market. Hedging for individuals is just trying to protect yourself from a downside move to some degree. 888-99-CHART. Half of American families live paycheck to paycheck. We've talked about that off and on for the last few weeks, month or two, that no one has enough money to even sustain even one unexpected decent size cost of a few hundred dollars to $1,000. They don't even have that kind of money. So, you know, I've been pounding the table, you know, we need to make changes. That's just not a smart thing to do. And one of the reasons people are living paycheck to paycheck is, you know, I reported this last week, we're about the same debt level we had before the recession. The U.S. consumers have about the same amount of debt as they had before the last recession. So that is still a problem, and wages have been stagnant to barely moving up. Now, granted, recently in recent stats, it looks like wages are getting a little bit stronger, but for years now, we've been stagnant. So we are at a point where our U.S. citizens are not that financially healthy. We know how much the average person has saved, and it's not nearly enough. We know how much that person at 65 has saved. And what is it, $50,000, $70,000, $80,000? It's very small for being 65. We do not have enough assets. We need to make a change here. And the problem is, if we make a big change, for instance, everybody starts saving their money and stop spending it, our economy is going to go into recession again. Because consumers kind of dominates our economy. That kind of does. Dominates our economy. So if all the consumers decide they're going to save a lot of money, that's going to hurt our economy. And now we have more layoffs. It's kind of one of those catch-22 things. It's just difficult to know where, you know, what they should do. My point is we need to start paying down debt. I talked about it last Friday about paying off. Not necessarily the highest interest rate debt, which would be the smartest thing to do, but maybe the smaller debt you have. Maybe you have $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 in a credit card debt in one of your credit cards. Maybe attacking that first, even though it might not be the highest, because it gives you a feeling of success, a feeling of accomplishment, and that might make you continue on that pattern. And there was a study that said that that's probably more likely to work than just paying off the highest credit card debt or highest debt that you have, even though everybody admits that it's smarter to do that. So just realize, you know, we're really not in good financial shape as a society. We really aren't. And we need to do something about that. Let's get back to our 24-hour listen line. Pick it up, a question anytime you want to call. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. I'm calling from New York. I'm a podcast listener. I was wondering what you thought of the Fidelity Matthews Index Fund. And the symbol is MINDX. Thanks very much, and I'll listen for your answer on the next podcast.
Okay, so this is the Index of India, everybody. MIN is Nancy, DX. Okay, so Matthews is a good fund family. They are known for having the better fund families outside the U.S., not inside, but outside the various parts of the world. Matthews, India. So now you had to go to India, and you had to determine, well, how good is India? Is India doing well, doing poorly? What's going on in India? And you'll find, once you take a look at it, is India is doing pretty well. And, one of the Asian countries that is probably up there as far as doing the best. Now, this fund is now at a new high, a new 52-week high. It was about 2860 or so was the last 52-week high, and it's been above that now for a number of days. It's now $30.19. So I do think it's a place, there's a place for it in your portfolio. Don't buy too much, but just know that you're buying at extended levels because it's been doing very well coming off a bottom here in March. Last year was pretty, the year before last, so 2014 was really low. But just be very, very careful. You're now at a fairly high number. MINDX. MINDX is the symbol, everybody. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. China has been holding on to our debt for some time. They have a little over $1 trillion. Of our U.S. government debt. Now that's down, by the way. It used to be that's down 15, 16, 17% from the top of holding our debt. And the worry is what can they do to hurt our economy? If they wanted to, what could they do? Because, everybody's talking about Trump and what's his name? Ping, Xing, whatever, XI, however you pronounce that, the president of the premier of China, and there was a meeting, and everybody's worried that Trump's going to cause these huge trade wars out there, which, he's a businessman. It's probably not going to happen. But anyways, the worry is out there, and so the speculation is, China can retaliate because they hold so much of our debt. Okay, so let's take a look at that. Let's say they want to sell all $1 trillion. What would that do? What would that do? That would drive down the value bond sharply, all right, our treasuries, which means it would drive up the interest rates. And you realize people love owning our debt. Countries love owning our debt. We're very secure. Our debt is very, very safe to own. If they did that, that would drive down the value of bonds, driving up the interest rate, and it would attract buyers. It would even attract the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve can buy it. Remember, it's got $4.4 trillion on the balance sheet already. What's another $500 billion? No one would even notice it. So if China decided they wanted to sell it all, I don't think it would do anything to hurt us. Yeah, there will be a market fall initially, do all those things. But as far as long-term damage, they would only damage themselves. And what are they going to? They're going to sell our debt. What are they going to take in exchange? Dollars, euros, yen. Right? I mean, they're going to sell it. Who's going to be the buyers? So it would make no sense. I don't think that's a worry that anybody should even think about. I don't think it's in the cards. It's not in the cards. You're listening to Invest Talk. Glad you're here today. Don't save that question. We can still fit your question in if you want to. 888-99-CHART is our number. David in San Leandro is next. He's holding on, and then we'll get to you after that. 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to David in San Leandro. How you doing, David?
I'm doing good.
Appreciate the call.
I'm doing good. Can you hear me, Steve?
I hear you perfectly.
Yeah, I was calling about Qualcomm. I was looking into buying some Qualcomm. It looks like the forward PE is 12, which seemed low. Their debt was low. The large company doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. What do you think?
I think it's a good buy right in here. I'm paying 3.8% dividend. Qualcomm has a 4 to 5 to 6% growth rate in sales. And you're right, the price is pretty reasonable. They're going to make $4.79 next year. It's a $56 stock. It's what, 12 PE or so? 5-year at range is 11 to 18. Return on equity is really good at 21. Very high cash flow. I like it at this point. Maybe other people won't because it was a high of 68, 69. Now it's 56. It's gone down, had a bad third quarter earnings number. But I kind of like it in this area, David. You got a thumbs up from me.
I mean, would you consider this debt relatively low?
Yes.
I mean, their debt?
Yes,
yeah, that's
the debt.
What I thought as well.
Yeah, the debt is not a problem for them. Yeah. No, I kind of
so
like
if you were
it.
To put in a buy order, what would you put it in at?
Well, if I wanted to get in other words, I didn't want to be too perfect here, probably right around 56.10, 56.25, it's a 56.52 right now. I think you might get a little bump down to that low range. In other words, the low point of the last few week or so is right around, that's where I put it in. The low point of the last week or so. I think a thump around there for a while. Now, of course, it could go down more, but this is a good buy price. I don't think it's a bad price at all. Okay?
Okay.
Qualcomm.
Thank you.
QCOM, everybody. Qualcomm. And you're getting 3.8% dividend, and it's not expensive. Eventually, this stock will go higher. Eventually. As long as because its growth is still there. It's not great growth, but it's still there. Kind of like it. Coming to terms with investing. Here's an investing term you should understand. What is a benchmark? What's a benchmark? What does that mean? Well, it's pretty simple. A benchmark is a standard against which the performance of a security, mutual fund, investment manager can be measured. You're measuring these things against a benchmark. Generally, broad market and market segment stock and bond indexes are used for this purpose. For instance, if you're investing in the stock market and you're fully invested, your benchmark should probably be the S&P 500. If you're investing in the bond market, you can't use the S&P 500 as a benchmark. You got to use a benchmark in the bond market. If you're doing 50% bonds and 50% stocks, you have to do a combination of bonds and stock as a benchmark to see if you're coming up to the standard. Mind you, most money managers cannot beat the benchmark that they set for themselves. They cannot. One of the reasons is benchmarks don't have expenses, whereas, you know, you're buying and selling and you got to pay the manager. There's going to be expenses. It's one of the main reasons. Now, if you'd like to study this a little closer, go to our friends at investopedia.com and look up benchmark. We're going to talk to Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Steve, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm good, doing good. So this is regarding the stock, MRK, the symbol. What is the best price to enter into this stock?
Okay, this is Realty Income Corporation. Symbol is O.
It's sorry. Mary.
I'm sorry,
M
what?
M for Mary. M for Mary. R for Robert.
Oh, you're talking about Merck?
Merck, yes.
Okay. Okay, hold on. I'll pull up Merck. Hold on.
Thank you.
Okay, Merck & Company. Okay, that's a drug company. It develops prescription drugs in the areas of diabetes, obesity, respiratory, cardiovascular, women's health, and others. And it's a big, big blue-chip company, $171 billion. So you're not going to get a lot of growth out of it. It's growing and maybe 1, 2% in the last few quarters. Before that, it was shrinking 3 and 4% for 4 or 5 quarters. So it looks like it's starting to come back a little bit. And stock, you know, is reflecting that. It was at $50. Now it's at $62. So it pays a 3% dividend, has a pretty good return on equity. This is one of those core holdings that you want to buy when it's cheap. And I think it's a little bit expensive. It looks like it's in a downtrend. Wait till it stops going down, and then you can pick it up, and it's a good core holding. Rob Ruby, well, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Looks like we're done with this hour, everybody. Time to say thank you for being with us. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. You can reach me directly with a question or comment. Sorry, I'm not able to respond to all just a bunch of stock questions. I can answer a question, but I'll try to help you in any way I can. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. Send me an email. I will get back to you. On behalf of Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for being with us today. And let's plan on getting together again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.